Welcome to yet another episode of the Option Plus podcast. I usually release recordings from my talks in English in this podcast, or at least I try to release all my English recordings besides other content that I make specifically for this podcast. And this time it will be no different. This is a recording from my talk at an event called Bitcoin Retro, which was in English, the talk, not the whole event. It was in Bratislava, and it was one of the most Lunarpunk events I ever experienced for various reasons. It had an amazing musical performance, very good and interesting speakers, and so on. And my contribution and my inspiration for this talk was twofold. So first of all, I attended an event where I met my friend, who I don't meet very often. And he was asking me, you know, this libertarian project, how is it going? It's probably not going so well. And he was like very skeptical, and he wanted me to complain because he's more left-leaning, and you know, it's not going well for them as well. But I kind of surprised even myself with my reply, because when I thought about it, I realized that the parallel path and what we can actually do is going so well that I think that the Cypherpunk project and Crypto Anarchy project is mostly done. And what I mean by it is that the technologies are here and you can live a mostly free life if you want to do it and if you spend some energy to do it. So it doesn't come for free. You know, you are not born in a libertarian society or anything like that, of course. But if this is something that is important for you, it is possible. You know, we have many things that you will hear about in this talk. The second inspiration was I started writing an update. I wrote this small book that is called Cypherpunk Visions and Trends 2023 to 2025. And we have 2026, so it might be a good idea to look at what has changed, what has been implemented, if my visions came true. By the way, visions, that doesn't mean predictions. Visions is what I would like to happen and what trends are I'm seeing. That's the other part of Cypherpunk Visions and Trends. So these were not predictions about the future. These were basically my visions and the trends that I was seeing. So before writing an update, I thought I'd do a talk in between. Maybe I will finish the book this year or next year. And it's a very short read about what is happening. So you will hear my current updates and my current view of the things happening. And back to the original point that we have everything. We don't have a libertarian society. The society needs something more than technology and possibility to do it. Society means there are people around you who can make this happen. And this is not always the case. There are many people who live in places where people around them don't get it. But there are, of course, other options. And the main thing is that among these options are online communities, and you can do many things in online communities, but there are many things that you cannot do. And I think one of the few things that would be very useful to help this societal part of cypherpunk visions would be creating meme bionts. So meme bionts are someone calls them memes, but that means something else right now. These are the ideas that people have about how things work, and basically it affects our mindsets and our view of the world, our personal experience. And I've been thinking lately a lot that it looks very different in different people's heads. You know, if we kind of assume that everyone thinks like we do, but it's not the case, and it's affected by many things, personality, intelligence, you know, trauma, experience, occupation, and many other things. So I thought that a very useful thing to do would be to create a fictional world where all these mindsets could be seen in the characters, how they think, what they do, how they perceive the world. So I wrote about a project of a parallel path in my book called Tamers of Entropy. You will hear a little bit about it in the talk. This is how it looks like, this packaging, and inside is the book. If you get the audio version, there's a USB key with the audio of the book as well, and there's some bonus materials in the premium package as well. It has a soundtrack which you can listen to at tamersofentropy.net. So this is already out there, and I hope you will enjoy it. And I think, you know, so it's not didactic. It doesn't explain what cypherpunk is, what lunarpunk is. It is not meant to, you know, give you a lecture. But at the same time, I think it's quite useful because of what I just said. It shows a different way to look at the world and to apply it to situations around us. So I try to make it very realistic. There's the first part that is about the hacking, and you can even see some assembler code, some C pseudocode, and real exploits, and so on. If you're not very technical, don't worry. You don't really need to understand it in detail, and you can continue reading. And then there's another part about mind and about building connection among the minds, and also between computers using technology and the mind. Also very realistic, by the way. I have tried many of those things that I write about. And the last part is building a parallel path with well, I won't spoil it to you. So I hope you will enjoy this this book. It comes in English, which is the original, and also Slovak and Czech translation. So go have a look at tamersofentropy.net, and I hope you'll enjoy this book and that it will be valuable to you. All right, so Bitcoin is retro, my talk about cypherpunk dreams. I will spoil the whole talk, whole idea right now. I have two observations. The world has gone to shit. There's war, censorship, the central planners are completely batshit crazy, and it's bad, and it's going to get worse. And it's 2026, and we have cryptoanarchy, which means we can deal with all this shit in a relatively good way. So this is, you know, the big US honcho is doing the State of the Union. I will explain the state of cryptoanarchy, what it is, what works, what doesn't work, and why and how the cypherpunk's dreams came true. So the first observation is crucial, because when you have a working society, everything is nice, business works, you can start business, you can trade, you can travel, you can speak freely. No one gives a shit about cryptanarchy. Like, when you were talking to people about Bitcoin, when it started, everyone said, what are you talking about? You know, bank transfers are free, everything works. Why do we need different money? Of course, it was at the time of financial crisis, so some people were seeing the cracks, but they didn't fully understand. Then maybe 10 years later, people started seeing the cracks. There were like stopped bank transfers. Business was not so easy. And now even ordinary people with like retail bank accounts often get calls from the bank, you know, what is this transaction, where does the money come from, or do you really want to send money abroad to protect the seniors, and so on. So people are starting to realize that these technologies and this parallel path actually might be a good idea. So every year the screws turn, we have KYC everywhere. When Frank Brown spoke, and when I first met him at the Bitcoin conference in London, he was explaining that there will be time where we will do OTC trades and when every exchange will want to KYC us. And when I looked at him, he was wearing a mask and so on. I was thinking, okay, like, he's read too much sci-fi and too much cypherpunk mailing list. Like, why would any exchange do KYC? Doesn't make sense. It's like horrible for user experience. It would never happen. So he was completely right. We even checked the talk and it's like, it was very, very dystopian it all became true. So I'm not going to make predictions because I'm very bad at predictions. But let's just see what is happening. So KYC everywhere, travel rules now since this year, if you want to buy something with crypto and the merchant uses a payment gateway, which is licensed, they will KYC you, even for buying coffee, whatever. Since this year, we have solutions for that as well. Chat control is creeping in CBDCs. Fortunately, the central bank is quite retarded, so I don't think they will make their own deadline, but it will come at some point. Age verification, identity gates, all this stuff is coming. So vote harder, you know. It's just, you know, vote for the better people. Unfortunately, and also fortunately, this doesn't work. Unfortunately means that a lot of people will be disappointed because every 4 years they vote harder and every 4 years the result is the same. Fortunately, if you realize that politics will not save us, you will not look at politicians as a solution, you will look for other solutions and try to use them. So this is easily said, but it's a mind switch and you have to do it. So I will tell you how I do this mind switch. So when I walk the street, I see a cop. Most people see, okay, it's a cop, you know, whatever, fining someone for bad parking or, you know, handling a drunk homeless person and so on. So these are normal people doing their job. What I see where there's a cop, I see, oh, okay, this is the parasite. He's working for the violent gang that is controlling this area. And my job, like in an adventure game, is to avoid this person in a way that will not cause any harm to me or anyone else. So you start playing this game. And when you make this mind switch, just a very important footnote. Nothing about the reality will change. You know, the cop is still a guy writing a parking ticket. It's nothing special about it, and nothing changed. But when you start looking at the world like this, you will never go to the, you know, let's vote harder or politicians will fix it. You can see this also on a municipal level. You know, roads should be fine. You know, there should be no potholes. They should work. And there is someone else that should make this happen. And when you stop thinking like this, you will start looking for other solutions. Another crucial mindset switch is understanding that every regulation and the infrastructure built around that regulation will stay, and it will stay also for the bad guys. So my hardcore version of this is, okay, there's a surveillance package, you know, there's or censorship package, you know, there's Russian propaganda, we have to fight it. So let's fight disinformation. What I tell that person each time is, okay, and now imagine that the next prime minister is a new Slovak version of Adolf Hitler. How would this law work in this situation? Like, would it be a good idea to have like a button to censor everyone and, you know, see everything? Probably not. So once a surveillance system exists, no government willingly dismantles it. So always, with every regulations, when you see it, always assume that the keys to that infrastructure is your worst enemy politician that you can imagine. And if this will this will also sound like a good idea. So the solution is to build the parallel path. That's what the cypherpunks decided. And at the beginning, it really looked very weird. It was a bunch of nerds, you know, putting envelopes inside envelopes on paper and seeing how to do onion routing for anonymity and playing with cryptography and sending some weird signed and encrypted messages. And it's quite a stretch to imagine how this could be used for improvements, for better society, but especially for better individual liberty. So I think they were quite visionary in this case. I would definitely not make that leap that once you have zero knowledge proofs and encryption and signatures, you can build money, you can build decentralized organizations, anonymization networks, and all these things. So it's not a revolution, it's not a reform, it's exit quietly through code, not only through code, I will talk about that, but also through code. And this exit is individual. So with every other philosophy about liberty, the problem is people are expecting everything to change, you know, the communists, which are not really about liberty, but let's say have some ideas. And the way to introduce these ideas is not that they change something about their behavior, but they force everyone into their idea. But this is also true in some sense about like a standard anarcho-capitalism. They are envisioning how a stateless society would come, like what would happen if there was no state. So crypto-anarchy is a form of anarcho-capitalism, but in this case, it focuses on individual action. It doesn't wait for anything. It assumes that there is an oppressor or someone who makes your life harder, and it is only interested in building the parallel path that routes around it, as we say on the internets. So these were the three visions, the three manifestos. The Tim May one, which is a parody on the Communist Manifesto. I don't know if you realized it. It starts the same as Marx. I will not read through them, but I will say something. So they basically claim the same thing from different points of view. Then there was Eric Hughes, which wrote the Cypherpunks Manifesto. I will quote something from there. And John Perry Barlow, many people don't know this. This is quite beautiful. It is more poetic. Declaration of Independence of Cyberspace, which is referring to the Declaration of Independence of the US. And this one is quite poetic. I like it. And I also used it in my book, which I will tell you later about. It says that this new cyberspace thing, this new internet, this new virtual space is a new space for mind. So what happens is our minds can expand there and cooperate there and in some sense live there or parts of our minds. And it says that it was very clear, it says to the states that you're not welcome here. This is our space for our minds. And it's not for the governments of the world to occupy them. So Eric Hughes, this is a very famous quote, cypherpunks write code. And now most of you think you cannot write code. But for the past 6 months, this is not true, because we have AI that... if you ask it nicely or not so nicely to write code for you, it will write code for you and the code will be good. So if you have an idea how to solve something in this field of cryptoanarchy and no one has done it yet, it's a few prompts away, at least that's what it looks like at first. But I'm just telling you, it's not, you know, it's an observation. It's not a prediction. You can all write code now. You just need to start. If you look at my open source repos, I wrote, I don't know, tens of projects in the last 6 months, and it's quite crazy. So this is one of the things that accelerated the coming of cryptoanarchy to our lives. It's been absolutely insane what kind of technologies are out there. Frank, who will talk later, said this very nice thing: technology leads, politicians follow. I will look at one aspect of this idea, and this one aspect is that usually what happens, so let's take Bitcoin as an example. So Bitcoin was created, it was launched, people started using it, and for maybe a decade, most politicians were basically repeating, this is not money, this is not money, and this is, you know, some kind of nothing on the internet, and we don't know what to do with it. It takes them quite a lot of time to realize what is happening. And then, of course, the rules and the legislation updates. Technology leads is very nice for us because we are very good at technology. A very good thing about technology is you cannot usually uninvent it. So if it's good, if it works, if it's even anti-fragile, it will not go away. Like once you know how to start fire, you will never forget it, and you suddenly live in a world where fire exists and you can use it. But the politicians follow, so the technology has to adapt. Like you can get like a decade of increased liberty because of some technology. But after 10 years or after they realize what is happening, you need to adapt. You cannot stay. So every of these, each of these free zone frontiers basically has an expiration date, which comes creeping in. But you need to understand, okay, what is the next step in this technology? How does it have to evolve? Because the politicians, they do follow. They don't stay asleep. Operating principle, forget perfect, shipping. Like if you have a better algorithm for sorting the Nostr timeline, commit, ship, okay, maybe someone will figure out something better in 1 month, but you started it and you are pushing the technology forward. Especially in crypto space, in Bitcoin space, there is a lot of what I call religious fundamentalism, like Bitcoin maximalism. People don't use all opportunities because they think that, you know, oh, it's not built on Bitcoin, so it has to be shit. No. If it works, if you can use it. Someone is shipping. If someone builds something on Bitcoin, use that later. Not a problem. So that's the maximalist trap. So I would say hold what you like and pay what they need. I invented in one of my books something that I called the law of cryptocurrency isomorphism, which means that once you have a cryptocurrency and it's capable of at least atomic swaps, it is not possible to ban it and you can compose it. So let's say a merchant wants to sell you some herbs. They say, oh, we only accept Monero. I only have Bitcoin on Lightning. Swap. You know, don't go into the discussion, oh, but you are using a Monero and that's a shitcoin and I'm on Lightning and it's better. And like, no, like scan the QR code, use a swap service, pay 0.5% fee, click send, get your herbs, everyone is happy. They get the Monero that they like, I pay Bitcoin that I like to own and use, and it's all fine. So in order for me not to be, you know, preaching, but doing, I have launched AnyPay.today, which does exactly this. It's a simple web app that you just add on your home screen. It can scan any QR code and you can pay it with Lightning and you can bet on Polymarket with USDC on Polygon or whatever they use. You can pay Monero and so on. I was speaking a few days ago with a friend who used to be a Bitcoin maximalist, and he said that he realized that he missed a lot of opportunities. Now he realized, okay, I can use Bitcoin as collateral and short the fiat shitcoins. And if he was not spending his Bitcoin, he would actually have more of it, not less. But you know, runs on Ethereum, Aave, and so on. It's not, you know, that's not compliant with my religion. I think my perception of this is compose things, use whatever works, and also support it. I think it's a good idea that we have these DeFi banks. Hopefully we will talk about it later. I said at the beginning of this talk that there is a problem with the merchant side, because since the beginning of this year, all the regulated payment gateways, which they call virtual asset service providers, CASP, I think that's a new buzzword, they have to. They have to do KYC on the customer. That's quite bad. So I realized that this is a big problem because most people don't want to run their own payment gateway. It is BTC Pay server. You need to start the Bitcoin node, Lightning node, Docker. Becomes super complicated. So I created something that I call Cashew Pay Server, not the best name, I have to admit, but it's a Lightning gateway that runs on the PHP hosting that you already have. So if you have WooCommerce, eShop, PrestaShop, anything that can use BTC Pay Server as a payment gateway, you just unpack one zip file, go through four-step wizard, and you can accept Lightning into your own wallet using Cashew Mints. So this way, you can go around these gateways. You don't have to KYC your customers. If it still seems more complicated than the payment gateway, I will just tell you exactly how it is. I will not pay with Bitcoin to a gateway that does KYC on me. I will just close the tab and I will not buy, basically. So the merchant side also works. So I'm also shipping some small things. You can use it today. It's open source. You can just, it also has a WordPress plugin. So if you use WordPress and WooCommerce, you just paste that zip there and it will just work. So what are the technologies that we use? Money you cannot be kicked out of. Bitcoin did the thing that was supposed to be impossible. Of course, it went way beyond Bitcoin right now. We have other technologies such as Lightning on top of Bitcoin or Monero, Zcash, Cashew, Fedimint, and so on. I think I don't have to talk about it too much at this event, but it's here. We also need permissionless markets, and I said that cryptanarchy is here, so we have permissionless markets. Of course, we have swap services, Uniswap, and many others in DeFi. We have prediction markets, which even the oldest cryptanarchy manifesto mentioned. They use the name information markets, which a prediction market is a form of an information market. So you're betting on real world outcomes, and that has some very interesting properties, which I think Peter will talk about. There is also a DAO, Decentralized Autonomous Organization, that is implementing Futurkey, which puts this a little bit further. They use it for their own governance, but you can also use their framework for decision making inside of your organization, centralized or decentralized. So they have launched basically a decision market and use the idea of Futurkey by Robin Hanson. I think he's even consulting with them. We have Aave, which is quite a big bank, basically, which does collateralized loans. So again, fundamentalism is nice, but I'd rather not sell my Bitcoin and I'll short the state shitcoins. You can now short euros on Aave, so you can borrow euros. So people often ask me, you know, what is the best stablecoin that I can borrow? And I say, no, you don't want the best, you want the worst. Because when the value crashes, that's less that you have to return. So you want the worst shitcoin possible if you are borrowing. So my choice is euros. They're doing quite good compared to dollar these days, but I still think long-term, I'm not betting on European Central Bank to do a better job than the American one. If you want to stay in Bitcoin, and especially if you want the fiat shitcoins on a bank account, there's Firefish, which I advise and use as well. So that's another lending platform. There's Vexel. By the way, there's a Vexel Club. I think there will be a QR code. So if you want to buy or sell Bitcoin within this community, there's like a private club that you can use right here at this event. And one very interesting technology is peer.xyz. This is very interesting. It's a way to buy and sell crypto, in this case stablecoins, with a counterparty over a wire transfer, like a Revolut transfer, N26 and several banks. But you don't need an arbiter, and there's no reputation system, because this peer.xyz will generate a zero-knowledge proof that you paid the exact amount to the right account. So you get a cryptographic proof signed by the bank, anonymized by the technology, and you can basically, it's magic. You want to buy some stable coins, it will tell you, okay, wire 500 euros to this Revolut account. Then it will generate the proof from the statement that it's sent, and you get your stable coins instantly. It takes 5 minutes. Selling is slower because you have to wait for the counterparty, but I was only waiting up to 1 hour. Never took more than 1 hour. So this is very cool. This is exactly the application that was in the manifesto, using zero knowledge proofs for verifying this kind of transaction. So you can also use it for the fiat side. So cryptoanarchy is taking over the fiat side as well. Speech. Oh, we had a very nice demonstration of why we need free speech during the pandemic. People were deplatformed, demonetized, and so on. Of course, we can use the same thing that we use with Bitcoin. With Bitcoin, no one creates an account for you. You generate a random number. You calculate your public key, which becomes a form of the public key, becomes your address. And in the same way, you can use social media such as Nostr. You generate a key. That means you have an account. You post. If some relay doesn't like what you post, you just go to another relay or relays. Nostr, by the way, is supported by Jack Dorsey, who started Twitter, and he said that his worst decision with Twitter was that he built the platform, not the protocol. So now he's supporting Nostr, which is a protocol. You can use it. It's a very simple protocol. So I have at least six custom Nostr clients that only I use. Why not? I can vibe code. So I recommend you look at it. And it's like Bitcoin. Once this infrastructure is up, it's gaining traction, network effects, and it's very hard to stop. So, of course, for communication, speech, we also have Signal. Signal groups are very important in our communities. For some use cases, Simplex is better, especially if you want to talk to bots and you don't want to buy phone number for each of the accounts. So with Simplex, there are not even accounts. Then you have Tor for avoiding censorship and for better anonymity. So this follows. So identity you control. So it's just a key pair. Yourself is not rented from Google, X, Meta, and so on. So even if you use things like Gmail, have you thought what happens when they cancel your account? And it does, like, you don't have to be a dissident. There was a guy that took a photo of his child's penis to send to the doctor because he had some kind of rash. He sent it to his wife and Google canceled his account. And it's, you know, now no Gmail, you know, it's printed on all the business cards and so on. So it doesn't, like, you don't have to be against the system. This happens to ordinary people with low probability, but it happens. So that's why I think it's better to at least put one foot in the world where this self, this digital self, this identity cannot be censored. many people say there is ownership of your data. You should own your data, or you should own your identity. In digital world, there is very rarely you can own something. It's data. If someone sees the data, they own it the same way as you do. So it's not about who owns it. I don't think this word actually works in this digital realm, but it's about control. Like, you can control your identity, you can control your money, because you can sign a message, because you have the private key. Once you don't have the private key, some other people have control, or no one has control. Depends on how you lose it, if it leaks or you really lose it in a boating accident. So identity you control is, I said, Nostr identity, but also PGP keys, SSH keys, and so on. Network that cannot be unplugged. Very important these days. I have a friend who was in Iran during the revolution. This year's revolution, not the last that brought this regime. and the honchos turned off the internet. And, it doesn't only mean that you cannot read Twitter. You don't know if it's safe to go out on the street. You don't know if your plane will actually leave and you can go away. We cannot imagine it, but having no internet connection really sucks, especially in a situation like this, when there's a high probability that there are some crazy state agents or religious extremists with guns. I think it's a good idea to look at other options. We are in Slovakia. We have one of the best MeshCore networks. MeshCore is a mesh network with devices like this one. And you can connect to it with your phone. This collects messages on channels. You can talk to people. At least Western Slovakia, Bratislava, around Bratislava, the coverage is everywhere. The community is building repeaters. And I think there are at least 15 users of MeshCore here that I saw. The mesh channels are very lively. So this is one option. Another option that you can use right now is called BitChat, which uses only Bluetooth connection. It doesn't have such a big range. So with this, you can talk kilometers just device to device, even without repeaters. Bluetooth is a few hundred meters, but everyone has a phone with Bluetooth. So you can install it, and you have a mesh network that extends. Others will route messages for you. It is ideal for where people are concentrated. So the best place to try this is here, because you have many people, and I will nudge you to install the app. The iOS version was also created by Jack Dorsey, by the way. The Android version was created by Kalem. And so what's another place where there's a concentration of people? Let's say a protest in Iran, like in Tehran. If there's a protest, there are probably many people and they want to share information. But if they cut down the internet and the mobile carrier, this is the way, and it works. What I created, by the way, is another technology which turns this thing into a BitChat node, and it routes the messages through the LoRa network, through this antenna, through MeshCore. So I created a way to connect these two networks. So you need one at the square. You turn this on, and then people protesting in Tehran on one square can talk to people protesting in Tehran in another square. This is also very useful in case of disasters. I spoke with a friend who was in Valencia during the floods. Network went down completely, and you want to know if your family is alive, if your friends are alive, if someone needs help. This works. This keeps working even when the grid is down. So we have it today. It's not, you know, in Slovakia, when you are here, it will just work. We discuss when to go to the sauna on the mesh, everything. So this is not some kind of future technology in some manifesto. This works today. All right. So can I just cut your finger? All right. Okay. Computing. This is quite a big problem, these days, because, we have computers. All of us have computers. Even if you don't own a laptop, you have a phone, which is also a computer. But it even, it's quite strange because, way younger, I was, an activist for using Linux. And we were like, okay, we are, you know, trying to replace this thing called Windows and so on. And I have to say that we won. Like, Linux is the most used operating system. Android is Linux. Every router is Linux. Probably every server you talk to is Linux. So it's everywhere. It's open source. So what am I talking about? Computing should be free. It's free, okay. If you don't have an iPhone or run a Windows computer, but it should be free. The problem is called app attestation. So what happens is that the CPU, even in this phone, can attest what kind of operating system it is running, if it has been modified, and what kind of app is running. So even if you have an open source application, and everything is open source these days because you can just tell your AI agent reverse engineer this app and you have quite a solid piece of source code after it works for one night. But if you change one bit about how the app works, the attestation will fail and the server will refuse you. So, for example, you can see this with many banking apps or even X app, X.com. If you install X.com on a Graphene OS phone, it will fail the attestation because Graphene OS is not blessed by Google, so it's not in the trust route, and it will fail. So the way how we can reclaim back our computing is by project as such as Graphene OS, Linux. Start9 is a good home node that can do many things, you know, cloud for photos for your family and so on. So you don't have to be dependent on these services that would refuse the apps. So we can easily switch to open source software also on the other side, because we are not, you know, talking to the cloud that is up there, as Kamala Harris said. So I think home servers and all these things are here. They're really good these days. One more thing. I've heard a podcast with the founder of Start9, and he said that they're implementing Startbot, which is an AI agent running on your own home node. And he gave an example that, for example, Start9 doesn't have an app where you can settle, like, let's say you travel together and you want to keep a ledger of who paid for what so you can clear later. It doesn't have this app integrated. But you can just tell the Startbot agent, you know, solve this problem for me, and it will either find an open source solution, package it, and tell you, okay, here's the URL, give this to everyone, log in, and you can settle. There's a ledger. And if there's no app, it can just write it. So now, if you need something, your home node doesn't know how to do something, you just tell it, okay, figure it out. So yesterday I told my agent that I want it to be able to pay with Lightning to set up a cash wallet. I sent it some tokens and now it can pay Lightning. I didn't have to code anything. I just wrote in English, I want you to have a cash wallet. So it's here. That comes to intelligence. So funny story, I was preparing a synthesis of what I want to tell you today with Claude Opus model. And then I said, okay, maybe I forgot. I thought that maybe I forgot about something important that happened in the last year because everything is moving so fast. So I exported all my Nostra notes, which was one command. No, I actually told it to export it, so I didn't do anything. And then I said, okay, look at what I was writing about. And if I forgot about something important, you know, tell me about it and I will put it in the presentation. And I got a nice trolling that I should read their terms of service and they cannot process this request. I tried multiple times, I tried different model, and then I switched to the bad censored Chinese models and they had no problem with it. So funny, like I didn't ask about Tiananmen Square, but the Chinese models are less censored. And it was like stock Chinese model, not the uncensored version even. And I run my local AI models at home. So they are now genuinely useful, especially like past month was crazy. There were several really good models that you can actually use. I've actually switched my agent from the Anthropic models to Kimi K2.6 and it works. So yes, as I said, if you can run your AI models locally, no one can tell you what you can and what you can't do. You can write code. So if you can write code and cypherpunks write code, if you want, you can be a cypherpunk writing code. There are many other projects. So Venice is one of them. It's a very nice router with an interesting economic model that turns the operational expenses into some kind of capital expense. It's very interesting. There's Roundster, which is a decentralized inference. So it's something like Open Router, but anyone can run a node. And they advertise over Nostra. So I'm running a Roundster node. You can run inference on my compute if you want and pay with cashew tokens. And it just works. It's amazing. Very bytecoded. You can see that it's like very rough. but I also fixed some bugs. It's great. And then there are these Chinese models. I don't know why they open source them, but they're really good. Like Qwen 3.6, the new Kimi. Yesterday there was DeepSeek V4 and so on. And then there's software like Ollama, which makes this easier, integrates it, Hermes agent and so on. So actually at this time, I think the gap between the proprietary AI models, harness agents and so on, and open source is shrinking and it's getting better. There are even unhinged models which are actively uncensored and they will do anything. So fun. Life spread across jurisdiction. This is again one of the things where perfection is not the goal, because people would say, oh, you have a Paraguay residency, but Paraguay is a state. So why are you using services of the state? You know, it doesn't feel right. You should be purely stateless. No, I'm fine. Other thing that people say, that you can't cherry pick, you know, you need to pick one state and you need to pay taxes, follow its rules and so on. It's total bullshit. You can totally cherry pick. You can get a passport from one or two countries, have three residencies. I think three or four driving licenses. Some work in some countries, some work in other countries. Your business can be in a different country. Your body can be in a different country. Like if I had some serious health issue, the first thing I would do is I would probably go to Switzerland or the US even, and not to a hospital in Slovakia. You can have fun. Maybe sometimes it's more fun in Croatia or Uruguay than in Slovakia. So just pick whatever works. And even better, many things can be outside of jurisdiction. So your money, maybe business, if it's decentralized, can live outside of jurisdictions in this space, new space of, for the mind, which we call cyberspace. Okay, humans, I was talking about technology a lot, about code and all these cool things. But the reason I think that crypto anarchy is here today is when I open the Signal groups, OTC traders, biohackers, you know, a group of expats, of Paraguayan residents, of whatever. There are communities in each of these areas, and they work. It's not only communities that chat. There are OTC traders and proxy merchants. So proxy merchant, for those that you don't know, is a very nice concept. Say you need to buy something and there is a barrier. You cannot do it because you cannot pass an AML check or whatever. You don't have good social credit score, whatever. You can ask someone to buy it for you and you pay the proxy merchant with Bitcoin. And this works. This works today even better than I expected. And there are people that will do this for you. What this means that in general, if there's a regulatory problem that you cannot participate in some kind of market, you need to look for the proxy merchant that will solve this problem for you. Of course, they charge a fee, but it works. Meetup organizers and so on. Many people are like very, like when you think in the statist mindset, you don't like to pay for things, you know. Oh, people should sell Bitcoin for free, you know, it's free money. So why do you want 3% fee for the exchange? Well, they want a fee because that's how they make their living, and paying these people is a good thank you note, as Juraj, another Juraj here says. And you want them to be there for you tomorrow. So pay them, you know. it's a good thing that you can pay others with money. The last thing that is not technological is culture. I think it's also the layer of the stack. I will not go into the theory of meme bionts here too much. But the reason I think this is important, and it became more important in the last few months, is so meme bionts are these simplify are these units of culture. It's ideas, these things that occupy our mind space, our the CPU time in our heads. And the mind switch that I mentioned in the beginning, or a few of them, they are meme bionts. You can just install them and they change how you behave, how you look at the world. If you put them out, they become part of the culture. Culture is just a set of meme bionts. So I think it is quite important for us to not only do the mind switch in our heads, but also put something out. You know, I write books, I do podcasts. But it's like if someone that you are close to thinks like a statist and has a you know, uses state speak, just say, okay, maybe try this meme bionts, you know, there's another way to look at it. So I've been very active in this as well, also with Honza, who is somewhere. So we did, for example, No Coiner Syndrome, which was a fun paper on this very very bad medical condition that many people still have. I think we even have some No Coiner Syndromes around here. Yes, he's nodding. There was a Zeitline song. Maybe Frank will play it too later. I made a documentary sci-fi called The Merge about the AI and how it's merging with our consciousness. and how we are merging with it. We did the Dark Forest zine, and I'm also I finished my first cypherpunk and lunarpunk novel. So this is the packaging. It's called Tamers of Entropy. So you can pre-order it. It will be printed very soon. So in May you can receive it, and it contains all these ideas about the meme biomes I want to plant, and how to do all these things. We will tell you a little bit about the story after this talk. But I said that it's become more important in the last few months, and the reason is that these AI models, they are trained on the meme biomes. So the companies, usually companies, also individuals, but mostly companies that train these models, what they do is they collect all the meme biomes, they rank them in some way, and that's how the model thinks. There is nothing else. There's like literally there's no other input than a set of meme biomes and their ranking. This is a good meme biont, this is a bad meme biont. That's all. So if we do these things, if we put these meme biomes out there and they're picked up in the training sets, then we infect the culture. We change how these models work. I've been also trying my own AI models by picking the meme biomes I like, and they are much more based, by the way. So this is why it's important. So make music, art, write, change how you talk, and so on. So to review, I don't think people wake up and say, okay, I want to become a crypto anarchist. No, I want to live a good life, you know, I want to be able to own some money, so preserve my wealth for the future, build capital, I want to be able to speak freely, I want to be able to, for the private things that I have to stay private, I would like to be free to move, to travel around the world. I want to be productive, so permissionless markets. I want to do what I want to do and what I'm good at. I want my kids to be educated and not brainwashed. So it's like basic things that people want. I'm not saying this is exhaustive. Many people have other things they need in their life. And all of these things, I think, have at least a good partial solution or improvement in cryptoanarchy. For health, the health community is not very cypherpunk these days, but it's getting there. There's a getbase.health by Elkim, which is a self-sovereign health AI system that actually doesn't collect any data about you, and it's open source. Local food, also doable. Robots are coming, so they will hopefully grow the food for us. Also doable, but not like a super cypherpunk way that you can do it. So, what to do today and tomorrow, and then I will finally finish. So, easy things: move friends to Signal. Accept crypto, and by crypto I mean any crypto, you know, don't be religious, swap to whatever you want later, pay with crypto if they don't want to KYC you, join and use Nostrum, and join and use a mesh network. So easiest thing to do right now is to install BitChat and try to use it among your friends. Like, if you need it, if there's like a, you know, a revolution, natural disaster, and so on, you will not be able to install when it happens. It needs to be on your phone, because if the network goes down, you don't get the APK. So even if you don't use it, just have it on your phone, update it regularly. But I think it's fun to try. It's a good way to, if you travel with friends, how to chat in the airplane, because it's also a small area with people. And we can chat on BitChat here. Let me see how many people are on BitChat. Five, okay. Perfect. Five peers, that means six people. All right, and try this one. It's around 50 euros. There are cheaper versions and you can be part of the mesh. And it really works in Slovakia quite well and it's very active. But the most important long-term thing, so that you can do tomorrow, the first things are for today, stack some options. So optionality is a form of freedom. I wrote a book about that in Slovak, which is called Velký reštart. So if you're still in fiat, you're earning fiat, okay, get some Bitcoin, Zcash, Monero, whatever you want, just in case. You don't have to turn your whole life around and become a Bitcoin maximalist or anything. Get an option. If shit hits the fan, you have some Bitcoin. Do you depend on the grid? Well, you can continue depending on the grid, but getting some solar panels on the roof and an inverter is a really good idea, and you can do it today. Is your business running on Slack? Maybe, you know, you cannot convince all your colleagues, but maybe move the family over to something else or move your friends, or if you have like a biohacking group or whatever, chess club, move them over from Telegram to Signal or Simplex or whatever you want. So freedom is a form of optionality. So building one more option at a time, and you are a crypto-anarchist even if you don't write code. So thank you very much. If you want to read about this in a fiction form, that is, I call it a documentary fiction, at least the first two parts, then it turned a little bit psychedelic. I don't know what the characters were thinking. But it's a fun way to try these mindsets and this way of thinking. So it's called Tamers of Entropy. And it's in English, Czech, and Slovak. So you can pick your version. There is also an audiobook. And this is how it looks like. Thank you very much. You fulfill me. I
we can dance to cosmic.